Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
That's right. It's time for political commentary. Good morning to David Slack.
Morena, Rosetta, Morena, Millie.
Good morning. How are you going?
I'm wide awake thanks to the civil defence alert that went screaming through the house at 6:30 in our place.
It's a bit apocalyptic, isn't it?
You bet it is. Yeah.
What are we talking about today? You've sent us a newsletter, which I think has a very funny intro that tackles a lot of things, but leads into a bit of an analogy about false promises from this government.
Yeah,
it was my way of dressing up the what the hell did Christopher Luxon actually say in his maiden speech? Because can we make some sense of what we're getting now out of that? And my analogy was about how you get all excited when you're just browsing aimlessly on the internet and you see this fancy coffee machine and you click, 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 and next thing you know it's come and then you're installing it, and as you start trying to make it you realise that you've bought a dud. And I just wondered if maybe some of the people who'd voted with excitement for Christopher CEO Luxon last election might be feeling that now. And so that's why I was saying, well, let's have a look at what he said when he gave his maiden speech and see if that can tell us, you know, what he had in mind. And then let's see how, after a year and a bit in office, the promise measures up to the delivery.
What did you think of his maiden speech, like, in terms of, was it a good one or no?
It was fairly boilerplate. I mean, it's not the worst one I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And some of the things he had to say were, you know, stuff that I would have written too when I've written speeches for politicians. The problem is not so much the base premise as where he goes with it. And the base premise is, and to be fair, he had a couple of other things to say too, and I'm going to write about them as well, but I just wanted to look at the bit where he said, we need to work smarter, not harder. Mm. And I said, well, yeah, sure enough, that's breathe in, breathe out for a CEO, but how? And he said, well, we can do this by building and unleashing, and I'm quoting him verbatim here, unleashing genuinely world-class export businesses, step-changing education and labour skills, and delivering infrastructure better. Okay, but how specifically? Well, he says, by investing in skills, R&D and innovation, by getting more world-class export businesses so we can compete globally, by taking urgent action to harness opportunities in AI and automation. Also, he proposed a complete reset for infrastructure with new vision, funding mechanisms and better execution. Okay, so far so standard. But if we now do a little bit of a tally, what have we got? Well, if we go back to the first thing he said, investing in skills, R&D and innovation, well, they've cut science funding.
Mm.
So essentially you're constricting the very stuff that fosters innovation. Getting more world-class export businesses? Well, no, we've still got the same narrow-based economy that's substantially selling milk powder to China and mm-hmm. logs to Southeast Asia. Still waiting for anything meaningful that might get things started. Taking urgent action on AI and mm-hmm. automation. Nothing so far, unless you count making Judith Collins the Minister for Infinity and Beyond.
Yes.
infrastructure reset. Well, let's start with the Cook Strait Ferry, shall we? Or rather, don't, because nothing's happened yet. Really,
yeah.
Where it's, what they've done is roads and more roads, but precious little else. So what I rate all of that is they promised nation building, we got dismantling. They promised to work smarter, we're all working harder with less. They're cutting here, they're slashing there, and they're wondering why nothing flows smoothly. The productivity's down, the economies are in recession, and the lights are off. So, you know, as far as measuring up to the stirring promises in the maiden speech, I'd have to give them about one or maybe two out of ten. It's
wow.
Really pretty dismal. And, yeah, okay, fair enough. You can't do it all on day one, but there's precious little going on here that says that they're thinking about anything that's new or progressive. You know, the huge potential for us is in new green technology, and you'd think they'd be all over that.
I know, and if you're cutting funding for science, but you're all like, oh, we're going to innovate so hard, well, that's just the antithesis of it, isn't it?
Of utterly it is. And what it tells you is that, you know, he knows the right buttons to push, but he's not actually prepared to do the things that make them work. And so, you know, I think the infrastructure spending gives you the clue to it most of all. They're piling it into more roads and more roads. Now, what could be more 20th century in the 21st century than that? You know, demonstrably, we have a problem with ICE vehicles and the reliance on cars when a move to mass transit makes way more sense. And more to the point, simply what you do with what investment money you have, you think the most important thing is people being able to drive across Auckland 3 minutes faster is going to, you know, Simeon Brown, when he was Minister of Transport, was actually saying, oh, this is going to boost productivity because people are going to get to their, you know, destination minutes sooner. It's not so that they can sit there and doom scroll. I mean, come on.
I know. It's like, what are you doing that first 3 minutes of work? Just sit down and make a coffee.
That's right.
Wonder why you're there.
Yeah. So anyway, I made a shopping list of things that he might do instead because, you know, I'm all about the product, the construct of criticism. So for productivity, I said, you know, when Finland wanted better productivity, they really tried hard. They made university free, and now they've got engineers and designers coming out their ears, all making things work. South Korea, much the same. Mm-hmm. Used to be dirt poor. These days it's a tech powerhouse, and they did that by pouring money into R&D until their products were really good. So if you want real productivity, you go for free tertiary education, because the productivity gains will pay for it. You do massive R&D tax credits. You do apprenticeship programs that actually pay living wages. All of those things have worked in other places. They can work here if you do them with enough clarity of purpose and good management. Housing. I think we might have talked about this a couple of times already, but it is absolutely my hobby horse that, you know, what you want is the government just spend, invest, build, because once you have sufficient supply of a home for everybody, the mania of the market dissipates and you have people buying a house to live in, not to make money out of.
Yeah, and wouldn't that boost productivity if everyone had a house?
Well, yeah, that's a good point too, because, you know, so much of our economy gets distorted by this pursuit of capital gains, whether it's a home to live in or a commercial property to put a factory or a restaurant in. Because people are forever pursuing the gain, it means that the cost of any business is determined by how expensive our real estate is, and it's way out of kilter with what we're actually making as an economy. Now, if the rents for your restaurants and your factories were smaller, that would get you a better return. But there's a further point too, and that is that, you know, when the Bulger government took over, they decided that they would change the way Housing New Zealand worked, and they would be looking for a return on all the property it owned. The return you get from public housing is social, not bloody economic.
Totally.
Financial. And it's a false expectation. It's the wrong expectation. So with that in mind, I've also, jumping down to infrastructure, said that there are a few things I want to do. One of them is remake the Ministry of Works so that you actually have the government owning up the whole construction system, so that it can build the homes at scale. You couple that with making money available at a concessionary rate for local authorities to do their building, you get the focus back where it ought to be, on actually the nation building, the infrastructure building that Christopher Luxon talked about in his maiden speech but has gone nowhere with. What else have we got? Oh, sorry. How are we doing for time, by the way?
Yeah, good. Somebody sent us a funny text saying that when they worked in corporate, a few of them would play buzzword bingo. while in meetings with senior managers. The goal was to mark corporate buzzwords off a list and discreetly say bingo first. It would be a very short game if you work for Luxon. Maybe you should add that to your newsletter, David.
Oh, I love
that. And then you can, people can play at home.
Yeah, I myself have played back channel in Slack in such meetings. The disrespect that people have for their senior managers when the senior managers are a bit shit really is very entertaining.
I know. So, like, National's kind of thing of back to basics, do you think they've completely flopped at that?
Yeah. It's a canard, really, this idea that you... They like to say that the grown-ups are in charge now and we're being responsible for the spending. But actually what they've done is simply cut and cut on the deluded notion that you can cut your way out of an inflation problem. The inflation problem was actually quite specific to COVID, and that has been working its way out of the global system. What they've done is put the brakes on for no good reason on our economy. So... but they present it as, you know, that sort of back to basics, solid thinking. It's none of the sort. And to refrain, because I'm taking advantage of one other point on the list here, which was climate transition. What they should be doing is altogether new inventive stuff. And so what I've got on that note is Green New Deal style infrastructure program. You insulate every home, you put solar on every school, you have wind farms onshore and offshore. You make an abundance of power for 21st century industry, so that you make a really good reason for industries to come to New Zealand and use an abundance of sustainable power. In that way, you potentially diversify the economy, broaden the range of things we do here, and you do it on a whole range of products that are good for not only the economy but the planet. You can see it as a problem and try and protect yourself against it, or you can see it as an opportunity to make things way better and make money out of it, and at the same time address the problem. Why the hell, if you're the sort of CEO visionary that Luxon proclaimed himself to be, wouldn't you be all over this? It beggars belief.
Wouldn't you just? Well, let's see what the next year and a half holds, David, but I've got a funny feeling it's going to be the same as the last year and a half.
I've got the same funny feeling.
Thank you so much for talking to us today, David. Great chat, as always.
I'll talk to you next week.
All right. Bye.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.